The Reverend Rick Scarborough, supporting the wave of similar Christian lawsuits brought to establish religion as a legal justification for discrimination against homosexuals and other groups, has named it the civil rights struggle of the 21st century. Christians are going to have to take a stand for the right to be Christian. Once again, if such people took their stand on the right to free speech, one might reluctantly sympathise, but that isn't what it's about. The legal case in favour of discrimination against homosexuals is being mounted as a countersuit against alleged religious discrimination. And the law seems to respect this. You can't get away with saying, if you try to stop me from insulting homosexuals, it violates my freedom of prejudice, but you can get away with saying, it violates my freedom of religion. What, when you think about it, is the difference? Yet again, religion trumps all.
I'll end the chapter with a particular case study which tellingly illuminates society's exaggerated respect for religion over and above ordinary human respect. The case flared up in February 2006, a ludicrous episode which veered wildly between the extremes of comedy and tragedy. The previous September, the Danish newspaper Jyllands-Posten published 12 cartoons depicting the prophet Muhammad. Over the next 3 months, indignation was carefully and systematically nurtured throughout the Islamic world by a small group of Muslims living in Denmark, led by two imams who had been granted sanctuary there. In late 2005, these malevolent exiles travelled from Denmark to Egypt, bearing a dossier, which was copied and circulated from there to the whole Islamic world, including, importantly, Indonesia. The dossier contained falsehoods about alleged maltreatment of Muslims in Denmark, and the tendentious lie that Jyllands-Posten was a government-run newspaper. It also contained the 12 cartoons, which, crucially, the imams had supplemented with three additional images, whose origin was mysterious but which certainly had no connection with Denmark. Unlike the original 12, these three add-ons were genuinely offensive, or would have been if they had, as the zealous propagandists alleged, depicted Muhammad. A particularly damaging one of these three was not a cartoon at all, but a faxed photograph of a bearded man wearing a fake pig's snout held on with elastic. It has subsequently turned out that this was an Associated Press photograph of a Frenchman entered for a pig squealing contest at a country fair in France. The photograph had no connection whatsoever with the Prophet Muhammad, no connection with Islam, and no connection with Denmark. But the Muslim activists, on their mischief-stirring hike to Cairo, implied all three connections, with predictable results.
The carefully cultivated hurt and offence was brought to an explosive head 5 months after the 12 cartoons were originally published. Demonstrators in Pakistan and Indonesia burned Danish flags. Where did they get them from? And hysterical demands were made for the Danish government to apologise. Apologise for what? They didn't draw the cartoons or publish them. Danes just live in a country with a free press, something that people in many Islamic countries might have a hard time understanding. Newspapers in Norway, Germany, France, and even the United States, but conspicuously not Britain, reprinted the cartoons in gestures of solidarity with Jyllands-Posten, which added fuel to the flames. Embassies and consulates were trashed. Danish goods were boycotted, Danish citizens, and indeed Westerners generally, were physically threatened. Christian churches in Pakistan with no Danish or European connections at all were burned. 9 people were killed when Libyan rioters attacked and burned the Italian consulate in Benghazi. As Germaine Greer wrote, what these people really love and do best